Michael Foster presented a guest sermon at Live Oak Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Goleta, California, February 2017. The title, Climate Justice for Our Children. You can also access the sermon in video on YouTube. Keywords, Michael Foster, Climate Justice for Our Children. Here's Michael Foster.
Good morning. So I'm asking you to judge me. You saw the film. You saw what I did. I'm going to ask a jury of my peers, 12 of you, in North Dakota, near the Canadian border, to decide what happens to me. I need you to judge me. What do you think of me? And what do you think justice would look like for what I did? Go home. I'm working really hard so that my children can go home. I can't go home. I won't see home. I will not see home. Whether I'm in prison or not, I am living in prison with you. This lifestyle we live is prison. We are prisoners of an industry which has prevented us from understanding our connection to the dirt and the trees, the tree people. We don't understand that we're animals anymore. We don't understand our food. We don't remember how to feed ourselves. My little one, you know, when they got the spoon into the mouth the first time, that was a big celebration. And after that, it was like, I can do it myself, you know. But we've forgotten how to feed ourselves. If we could feed ourselves, how many of us would sit in cubicles for 40 years? How many of us would sit in front of a computer screen? I've had email for about 20 years, mostly as a tool to stop the fossil fuel industry. But when I add up all the hours that I've spent trapped fighting that industry, I don't know how many years I'm going to get in prison, but I think I might come out ahead. I may get some time off, some time back from email and computer screens. I'm kind of looking forward to some downtime. So I am nature, but there's no part of me that I can touch or point to or examine under a microscope that is not nature defending itself against us. That's why we're here. That's why humans are still around, because we have wiped out half of the population of vertebrates on Earth since I started grade school. I'm going to give you a moment to grieve that. By the year 2020, it will be 2/3 of the population of vertebrates on Earth who will be gone. All life to come depends on you and me doing what is right, remembering who we are in time to make a difference. The window is closing. I work with the children who are suing the state of Washington for a climate plan to get us back to 350 parts per million CO2, climate stability, climate recovery, near the end of their lifetimes. This century is going to be a disaster, but it could be a hiccup. It could be a dangerous, dry, hot, flooded, war-filled century, but they could survive it, and life could survive it if we act within the next few months and years. I'm talking about 2 or 3 or 4 years. So, no government, No corporation is talking about acting quickly enough. No law will be passed which can force you and me to stop poisoning our children and grandchildren quickly enough. If we want to poison them, we can. It's legal. We have to stop. So those are my kids and the kids I work with, Plant for the Planet. It's a group of children around the world. They are now the United Nations tree counters, and they need to plant 1 trillion trees within the next few years. And you're shaking your head. How many trees are alive on Earth? Does anybody besides Connie know? 3.03 trillion. The children needed to know how many trees are alive so they could figure out how many need to be planted to get CO2 back into the ground. And after 4 years of research, a team of experts around the world came up with this amazing fact. We're losing about 10 billion per year. We had 6 trillion before we started cutting them down to grow our lunch. So we're operating on 1 lung right now. We need to restore 1 trillion trees. For every 3 trees alive, 1 more tree. Now, how many of you think it's politically dangerous to promote children planting trees? That's half the solution. We will not get back to stable climate without another trillion trees in any way. And we have to cut our emissions personally, socially, and politically. Demand that we cut our pollution 9 to 10% every year until we're done. When my kids are my age, they can't live with burning fossil fuels. They won't survive it. They won't survive us doing that for the next 2 or 3 years, because by 2020, if we haven't started this plan and started cutting these emissions, we'll need to cut emissions 12, 13, 14, 15% per year. And that starts to sound really impossible. How many of you think you will cut your emissions 9% in 2017? How many of you think that's possible and that you will do that? Will you commit to that right now? Let me ask it differently. If all life to come depends on you and I personally cutting our emissions 10% this year, how willing are you to make that commitment? Our discomfort, our expenses to be able to do that are so pointless and meaningless. If we're talking about the history of life on Earth going forward for millions of years. What evolves and what does not evolve? You and I are nature. We decide, humans, what nature is and what it isn't. Now, there's a joy and a burden in that. But we are it. We are aware. We know what we're doing. We have the wealth, the resources to make these changes. I'm not talking about doing anything that's impossible. I'm just saying we need to commit to doing it. We have to stop the poison. And that's what I did with my friends. And two of those other guys are also Unitarians, just by chance.
Praise God!
Not by chance.
Not by chance. So I want to share one more story. How many minutes do I have? A couple? Okay. The Children's Trust lawsuits are very important, one against the federal government, one against the state of Washington, in order to get our government and our legal system to understand what climate justice looks like for our kids. So I'm asking you to judge me and my action to stop fossil fuels. I'm also asking you to judge our laws. What would justice look like for our children if our laws were right? Would it be legal to pollute the amount we're polluting today? No, it couldn't be. And the truth is, under the public trust doctrine, which goes back to Justinian Code, it is illegal to pollute as much as we're polluting today. And that's why these children's lawsuits are winning in court. But by the time they work their way up through the Supreme Court, we will have missed this opportunity to stop emitting 10% a year. It'll be too late for that. So the kids have introduced legislation in Washington State, and you can actually help me, ask me about it later, to get your local legislators to write a statement of support to Washington State to set the targets for carbon emissions where they belong, at 350 parts per million or 1.5 degrees Celsius. I know this is very scientific, but California's current targets aim for 450 parts per million CO2. We're at 405 today, and California's carbon markets are, if they succeed, will put us up to 2 degrees Celsius warming, which the United Nations says we must not do. How is that legal? How is that legal? That's the green guys. That's like the greenest governors in the country saying, we're going to aim for climate disaster. So, Joy, I also get to work with these kids, and they compelled me to do this action, which might land me in prison, which will land me in prison. And it's because they don't understand helplessness. They don't understand how to live with a problem. You tell an 8 or 10 or 12-year-old, your planet's on fire and we have a chance to do something about it. And they say, okay, how do we do it? What do we do? Want to plant some trees? Okay, sure, let's go. I got a shovel. Let's go. How many? A trillion. All right, let's get started today. We'll do a lemonade stand. And they do a lemonade stand. They'll do, like, you know, whatever. Yeah. So these kids are incredibly powerful because we are wired in our DNA to help them go forward. We understand when a child of 10 stands up and testifies before the governor that that's my air that you're burning. And I'm going to need it. I'm going to need it soon. It's hard for people to blink or breathe when that sort of thing happens, because we understand, we know what's right, we know what's just. So, the joy. The kids, a month or so ago, Connie was there, up on a high hill in Seattle, planted the first of about 300 little tiny things that would fall over. They were taped to a little stick. But, you know, a step or a weed whacker would completely eliminate them. And these little 5, 6, 8-year-olds were out there with their little hand shovels planting these things way up above, like 200-plus feet above sea level where they belong, in a marine, cool environment up in Seattle, where they need to be because climate is changing. These giants were cloned from the largest tree stumps on Earth. And they need to migrate, because these little guys planting these little guys, we're actually planting a being that will live in that spot and clean our air for the next 3,000 years until 5,017. Or longer. All we have to do is take care of the air and the water. And if you and I do that, these little guys could grow stumps as big as this room, 300 feet high. You talk about joy. You talk about purpose. Oh my God. That's unbelievable, isn't it? We can't stop that. I beg you to be one of the ones who experiences the joy and purpose of making life for our kids 10,000 years from now possible with what you do and don't do today.